The Henry Raines Show, only on News Talk 820.
And I ain't no communist.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the second hour of the Henry Raines Show here on News Talk AM 820 WWBA. I want to thank all the callers in the last hour for keeping us busy and on our toes. Before we get to our guests, though, there is one issue that I wanted to quickly touch on. For weeks and weeks now, we have been talking about financial reform and the many important aspects of it, whether it be to get derivatives out in the open in a transparent market, to separate the commercial banking from the investment banking. Well, that is up for a vote in an amendment next week. The Maria Cantwell from Oregon, Senator from Oregon, and John McCain, still for the time being a senator from Arizona, a bipartisan amendment to restore the Glass-Steagall protections to the financial industry. Of course, the Glass-Steagall bill managed to keep us safe from these financial crises for 50 years until the savings and loan crisis of the 80s when the wall was broken down. Well, this amendment should be coming up for a vote either late Monday night or on Tuesday. Many Democrats have been angry at Harry Reid for not guaranteeing them a vote on this. In fact, Byron Dorgan and Sheldon Whitehouse threatened they would join the Republicans in blocking a cloture vote if the amendment were not allowed to present. There is bipartisan support for this in the Senate. There are Republicans and Democrats that would vote for this. This is the worst nightmare for the financial industry, but it is something the government needs to do to help protect us from another financial crisis. And believe me, the storms are gathering in Europe right now, and the dominoes are getting ready to fall. What can you do? Well, I'm going to give you the Senate switchboard number, and then we will go right to our guest. But the Senate switchboard, you can call, let Bill Nelson know how you feel, let Senator Lemieux know how you feel, that you want the Cantwell-McCain amendment to be voted on and to be passed. All right, here is the Capitol switchboard, 202-224-3121. The Capitol switchboard is 202-224-3121. There are toll-free numbers, but there's so many of them, I wanted to just give you one that you can go right to and get to your senator. 202-224-3121. We'll try and give you that again before the show is over. Our guest, Mike Wright, is the Health, Safety, and Environment Director of the United Steelworkers. The website is usw.org. Lots of information, lots of video there. Again, Mike Wright is the Health, Safety, and Environment Director for the United Steelworkers. Mike Wright, thank you for making time on the Henry Raines Show here this Sunday.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, well, let's just start with some basics about the United Steelworkers, because as I've been to your website, I know you're much more than just steelworkers. What is the United Steelworkers? Give us a little bit of your history and where you are right now.
Well, first, the full name of the union is the United Steel, Paper and Forestry, Rubber, Manufacturing, Energy, Allied Industrial and Service Workers of America. And so you can see why we just call ourselves the United Steelworkers or the USW most of the time. But we are, in fact, the predominant union in many sectors of the industrial economy, including, I think for the purposes of today's discussion, the oil industry, especially oil refineries. We have about 850,000 members. We're in the United States, Canada, and in some of the Dutch possessions in the Caribbean. So we're a pretty broad and a pretty widespread union.
And there's a whole lot of things we want to talk about with you in this hour. Let me just tell the audience, 866-977-4820. We're going to cover a lot of topics, not just safety, but a lot of issues that are important to to workers here in the United States, to people who are seeing their jobs go overseas, to the people that are struggling with the high unemployment, especially, as I'm sure you know, Mike, down here in Florida. We're going to be talking about trade. We're going to be talking about health care, all kinds of things. So if you have a question that you want to find out the state of the unions or what they can do for you, or maybe you've got a criticism that you want to bring forward, we'll be happy to take your calls as they come in at 866-977-4820. But as I was on the website, and one of the things, as you brought up, the refineries and safety, and maybe we'll get into the issues revolving that, but one of the most surprising things I saw, Mike, was that there's a refinery fire in the U.S. almost every week.
Almost every week, yeah. As a matter of fact, if you go back to the beginning of the year and to last year, they average a little more than every week. It's a very serious situation. Most of those fires don't result in injuries. Most of them are contained. But anytime you have a fire, you've breached several levels of containment, and you've got a problem that that but for a couple of things, could have gotten severely out of control and killed workers in the plant and possibly residents of the surrounding community.
Okay, Mike, I have to tell you, you're fading in and out a little bit, so you'll have to hold the receiver a little bit closer, I think.
Okay.
And that's great. And who is the regulatory body that's supposed to oversee safety in the refineries?
It's OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration.
Okay, and now with the offshore rig and, of course, with the Massey coal mine, we've had a lot of finger-pointing at the Minerals Management Service. Now, two-part question. They don't have – do you intersect with them in any of your other worker groups or in the oil industry? And then, secondly, do you find the same problems that we're discovering in the Minerals Management Service and the regulators from OSHA?
The answer to really both questions is no. First, the Minerals Management Service doesn't have any regulatory authority over safety in the oil refining sector. They're limited to the extraction sector, especially offshore oil rigs. We don't have members in that part of the industry, so we don't know a lot about that. Second, one of the problems with the MMS was that its duties were both to promote the industry and to keep the industry safe. And I think as we've seen, and especially as President Obama has noted, that those two functions are really incompatible. So there's a move underway to split MMS into a safety function and a kind of a promotional function. That isn't the case with occupational safety and health generally. OSHA's job is only safety. It's not to promote the industry. And OSHA has done a relatively good job lately, but we are looking at the legacy of 8 years of OSHA's inattention to this sector. So we're really playing catch up here.
All right, we already got a call with a question here. 866-977-4820, 866-977-4820. We're speaking with Mike Wright, Health, Safety, and Environmental Director, United Steelworkers, as well as lots of other workers. Let's go to Rick in Palmetto. Go ahead, Rick.
Hello, Michael. It's a pleasure to hear you on the air today. I know unions have taken a bashing in this country for several decades now, where they really improved the lives of so many millions of Americans in the early part of the 20th century and all the way up through the 70s. And we saw a shift and a lot of anger. And some of it may or may not been legitimate. But having been a healthcare worker, I actually tried to organize down in Atlanta, an RN. Union to no avail. But as we see, the problem with the government regulating it, and maybe you'll agree with me, and you kind of alluded to it just in your last statement, that based upon which party's in power, it seems that the regulatory and safety of the workers and their overall well-being, quite frankly, seems to shift based on who's in power. Do you see any chance, not just from the USW, but for unions in general in this country, starting to make a resurrection and start to improve the lives of the workers again in this country? Because it's not only is it dangerous in many aspects, as we've seen off on the Gulf, but just the quality of life. I just saw a report last week that the American worker is the most productive worker in the world. There's no question about that. That's well acknowledged, okay? Because of all the layoffs, I saw an article that we finally hit our point of diminished returns with workers, and we saw a decrease in productivity just in the last month or so, because we're asking people to do too much, and it affects their lives at home, their mental health, their physical health, everything across the board. We need protections. What do you think about that? And I'll hang up and listen.
All right, thank you.
Well, there's a lot there, and I agree with all of it. We really exist to try to make people's lives better, and in the area that I work in, safety, we've been able to do a lot of things in the unionized sector that nobody's been able to do in the non-union sector. For example, I'll give you one example from the steel industry. Back in the late 1970s, we were having serious accidents in the steel industry where people died from carbon monoxide poisoning. Carbon monoxide is sort of part of the process, the process of refining steel and of refining iron in a blast furnace creates carbon monoxide. We were able to sit down with the industry and negotiate language requiring a very comprehensive safety program. We were losing, up until the 1980 language, an average of 5 to 6 workers a year from that hazard. Since 1980, since that language became fully effective, we've lost 3 in 30 years. So that's what unions can do in safety and really in everything else. So I think the problem with the decline of the labor movement really isn't that workers don't want unions. Every survey we've seen, workers want unions. The problem is that the deck is really stacked against us. When we try to organize a workplace, the boss can fire workers with impunity. And yeah, that's illegal, and yeah, after a 2-year fight, you can get your job back with back pay minus what you earned in the meantime. But there's no punishment for the boss for doing that, and so workers are afraid to support a union because they have to be extraordinarily courageous to do so. The boss can pretty much determine when the election will be held. We've seen cases where the boss has put his or her relatives on the payroll temporarily to be no votes against the union, and then as soon as the union is ousted, or as soon as the union loses the election, those workers then leave the payroll. So there are all kinds of tricks that are used to keep unions from organizing workers. Much of that we're trying to change. The Employee Free Choice
Mike,
Act.
We're coming up against a break, and on the other side of the break, I want to talk about organizing. But before we go there, I just want to follow up on the safety issue that we started our conversation about with the refinery fires. So if we're having a refinery fire once a week almost, where are we falling down on the safety issue? In the inspection or do the workers, are they missing it? What?
Your last segment was about, I think, the meltdown in the financial sector. Is that right?
Right.
A lot of the factors that led to that have led to the same problem in the oil refining industry. You've got companies that decide we are going to take the risk. It's worth it to us to save the money we save by not spending on safety, by deferring maintenance, by putting things off, and we will take the risk of a catastrophe.
Are they violating regulations?
Sometimes.
Okay. We're going to continue with Mike Wright on the other side of the break, Health, Safety, Environmental Director, United Steelworkers, USW.org. We want to hear from you, 866-977-4820, 866-977-4820.
This portion of the Henry Rain Show is brought to you by Callum's Little and Delgado, a full-service law firm practicing personal injury, family, criminal defense, and immigration law.
News Talk AM 820.
I'm Scott Callens from the law firm of Callens, Little, Delgado, and Opstal. During this season of high roadway traffic, you need to be extra cautious. You should know that Harvard researchers have concluded that cell phone use while driving increases your likelihood of being injured in a car accident by 4 times. Reduce your chances of injury by driving a bit slower and by pulling from the roadway when you must use your cell phone. You'll arrive at your destination safely, and your caller will appreciate the attention that you've given them. At Callens, Little, Delgado, and Opstal, we help people who have been injured by careless drivers. If you or your loved ones have been injured in an accident, you may have questions. At Callens Little Delgado and Opstal, we want to help. There's no charge to meet with us, and our fees are based on a percentage of what we recover for you. Call us at 941-749-1446. Let us help answer your questions. Callens Little Delgado and Opstal, 941-749-1446, or reach us at makeempay.net.
The new standard for Tampa Bay News, News Talk AM 820.
I'm Steve Summers. Join me every weekday afternoon for local news updates along with traffic and weather from the Weather Channel. We have more reliable and local information than any other station in town. So join me every afternoon on News Talk AM 820 to get the news that matters to Tampa Bay.
Experience the difference.
Experience the difference.
News Talk AM 820.
Make sure that you clear your calendar to attend one of the area's best events of the year. It's the Brandon Business Expo and Taste of Brandon, where over 200 businesses will be displaying, selling, and having you taste the best food around. It takes place on May 20th, 3:30 to 8 p.m. at the Special Event Center at your Florida State Fairgrounds. Brought to you by Hoffman Business Services, Max Muscle Sports Nutrition, Sagicor Life Insurance USA, Edmore's Cadillac Brandon, Renaissance Consulting and Development Inc., the Greater Brandon Chamber of Commerce, and News Talk 820 WWBA.
Ron Reagan here, talking about your health. Men, did you know your prostate can affect your quality of life? It can affect your urine flow and stream, and it might even affect intimacy. Don't ignore the importance of your prostate. See your doctor for checkups and take Natural Beta Prostate. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-743-7142. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-743-7142. That's 1-800-743-7142.
Cable TV rates continue to skyrocket faster and faster. The profit on the cable giants has pushed consumers around enough. You don't have to stand for it anymore. It's time to push back. Cut the cable and get Dish Network installed free with absolutely no equipment to buy. Here's the best part. It's just $19.99 a month for an entire year. And you'll also get a high-definition digital video recorder upgrade for free. That's right. Call now and get Dish Network installed for free. And get over 15 premium channels, including HBO and Showtime, free for 3 months. Our Dish authorized agents can have you watching TV as soon as tomorrow. Call 800-830-9016. Just imagine all your favorite TV shows in crystal clear digital quality for far less money, and you won't have to deal with the cable company anymore. At $19.99, it's like giving it away. Call now for full details. Call 800-830-9016. That's 800-830-9016. Again, 800-830-9016.
Henry Rain Show here, News Talk 820, WWBA, website newstalk820.com, podcast site henryrainshow.podomatic.com, and we are speaking with Mike Wright. He is Health, Safety, and Environment Director at United Steelworkers, usw.org. Phone lines open at 866-977-4820, 866-977-4820, talking about the labor movement, workers' rights, and trade issues, too, coming up if we have enough time. But first, let's go to Paul in Sarasota. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Henry, Paul Webb. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, good to hear from you again.
Hey, I actually called you about 10 minutes into your show because you mentioned BP being open for suggestions. I'm going to say something about that, and then also about a question about labor, too. As far as BP, I was thinking about 2 days ago, there's every solution they're coming up with involves retrieving the oil. And they're not looking at anything else. I'm wondering, why don't we just send down one of those huge square cement boxes like they're doing to just cap it, period, and force them to drill another well for access? Wouldn't that stop it right here and now?
That's beyond my expertise to know if that would work or not, Paul, but I appreciate the suggestion. My idea is we all hold hands and wish really hard. What do you have for Mike?
All right, Mike, here's what I got for you. You know, we're at a point here where the Republicans have teamed up with corporate to send so many jobs overseas that even on a huge dip like we just had due to the potential financial collapse a year and a half ago, that we can't even come out of this jobs-wise. In other words, we don't have a job base in manufacturing, and we've sent so many of our jobs for services overseas that there's no job base to bring us back. What, if anything, could possibly be done to get our jobs back here? What can we possibly do, or do we just surrender because the corporate side of America isn't going to let it happen?
I think we need to do a couple things, short-term and long-term. Short-term, we want to make sure that at least when federal money gets spent on these projects under the TARP or under federal spending in general, that we spend it in this country and create American jobs. For example, there's a wind farm going in Texas. And that wind farm is going to be largely subsidized by the taxpayer. And yet the initial decision of the managers of the wind farm were to buy their turbines from China. We make turbines in this country. Actually, we do it with foreign manufacturers, but they're set up in this country, and they are largely unionized. That's where we ought to be getting our wind turbines. And when the federal government spends money on those kind of projects, then at least we ought to make sure that money goes to American jobs in America. Long term, I think we need to work toward a world where companies can't escape to other countries because those countries have lower wages and less environmental protection, because ultimately those countries need to be brought up to our levels of wages and environmental protection.
Well, Mike, let me ask you this.
We're down to 30 seconds, Paul. Ask the question. We'll try and answer on the other side of the break.
Okay. Mike, if we don't have a job base here, we're not going to be able to pay our bills, especially with the debt we're running up. So on the other side of the break, if you'd be so kind, explain to me why we shouldn't do something that mandates that a certain amount of product, a certain percentage of product, has to be made in the United States with United States workers. Gentlemen, I appreciate it. I'll listen on the other side.
All right. Thank you, Paul. We are speaking with Mike Wright. He is Health, Safety, and Environmental Director of United Steelworkers, USW.org. On the other side of the break, we'll get that. Plus, your calls at 866-977-4820, 866-977-4820.
This portion of the Henry Rain Show is brought to you by Canada Med Services. Save up to 70% on your prescriptions. Call 1-877-917-3600.
Type it in, Tampa Bay.
Newstalk820.com.
Too much for your prescription medication? Call Canada Med Services, 877-917-3600. Save up to 70% on your prescription. Call 877-917-3600. In their 6 year of saving customers money on medications, Canada Med Services, 877-917-3600. Guaranteed delivery. Government inspected and approved factories. Save up to 70% on your prescription. Call 877-917-3600.
Tampa Bay, log on to newstalk820.com.
Completing an award-winning MBA program will help your career, and you can earn that certificate, BA or MBA, without quitting your job or changing your life. That's the advantage of enrolling in an online program at University of Maryland University College. Earn your degree in just 24 months, pay your tuition monthly, and pay 0% interest with UMUC. Register today, 1-800-419-5463. Classes begin soon. GRE or GMAT not required to enroll. Call 1-800-419-5463. 1-800-419-5463.
Your free iPhone Newstalk 820 app at the Apple Store under Radiolicious, and you can hear Newstalk 820 on your iPhone. Newstalk 820 and Radiolicious, making your life just a little easier.
One, two, three.
All right, listen up.
Listen up.
Newstalk AM 820.
Looking forward to it.
AM 820.
Genesis Communications, Tampa Bay.
News Talk AM 820. WWBA.
The home of ABC News.
Success as oil company BP tries to plug the oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico. The company says it was able to use a mile-long tube to capture what it says is most of the oil and bring it to the surface. That process continues. On Face the Nation on CBS, the number two Republican in the U.S. Senate, Arizona's John Kyle, called it unlikely that Supreme Court nominee Elena Kagan will face a GOP filibuster. The Senate Judiciary Committee meets this week to hash out a schedule of confirmation hearings for Kagan. More than 100,000 people turned out in St. Peter's Square, a show of support for Pope Benedict, as the Roman Catholic Church deals with a growing list of sex abuse allegations.
Scattered amongst the crowd, banners that read, "Together with the Pope and Don't Be Afraid." Acknowledging the display, Benedict said he was comforted by what he called a beautiful and spontaneous show of faith and solidarity. While not directly addressing the serious allegations, the Pope again repeated his position that the scandal was born of sins within the church.
ABC's Tom Rivers. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Henry Rain Show, News Talk AM 820 WWBA, 50,000-watt blowtorch of the South. And we are speaking with Mike Wright, Health, Safety, and Environment Director of the United Steelworkers. The website is usw.org. Prior to the break, Paul in Sarasota wanted to know why we can't require a percentage of material, I guess he would say, or components built in the U.S. on these issues. I think, Mike, maybe WTO has something to do with that, but you explain for us.
Well, first, I think that would be legally difficult, but the point is that it's really not necessary at this stage. There are things we can do. What it seems to me that the caller was arguing for was something that would sort of force the American people to buy American. I don't think we have to force people. I think we just have to get rid of the incentives that drive companies overseas. For example, we need to get rid of the tax breaks that companies get for going overseas. We need a government procurement policy that says, if the government gives you money for some purpose, that money ought to be spread around in this country. That money ought to go towards creating jobs in this country, like the example of wind turbines in Texas. And I think ultimately we need to work toward a world where workers everywhere enjoy decent wages and benefits, and where the environment is protected everywhere, so that companies can't gain a competitive advantage by going to places where labor is paid cents an hour, where the environment isn't protected. That's what we need ultimately. So I don't think we have to force anybody to buy American, except maybe the government. But we just have to get rid of the really stupid policies that give companies incentives for moving overseas.
We want to hear from you at 866-977-4820, 866-977-4820. What are your concerns? Are you having trouble finding a job? What do you think the reasons are that jobs are so scarce here? Where have they gone? How about, are you a member of a union? Have you ever, on the opposite side, maybe you didn't want to be represented by a union? We want to hear from those people too. But let's go into the actual organizing that we sort of touched on in the first half hour. First of all, as a percentage of the workforce, say in the different sectors of the economy that you represent, what is the percentage of union representation, say, in steelworkers to start with?
Well, it's impossible to answer that in sort of across the board, because we represent people in so many different so many different industries. In steel, it's probably in the neighborhood of 70% or so. In the oil refining sector, it's above 50%. In metal and non-metal mining, that's everything except coal, it's around 20%. So it varies from workforce to workforce.
Okay. And how would you rate the competitiveness and success of the U.S. steel industry at this point? Because we were on hard times a couple decades ago.
Yeah, I think the steel industry is really highly competitive. We are manufacturing steel in this country. We're making as much as we did ever, except during the war. And we're doing it with far fewer workers, which is a problem for employment. But that's a measure of how efficient U.S. production has become.
I want to get to the Employee Free Choice Act in just a moment, but our callers are coming in again. 866-977-4820. Your questions are even more important than my questions, believe it. 866-977-4820. Mickey in St. Pete, go ahead, please.
Hey, good afternoon. I really support labor unions, and when you're talking about the corporations moving overseas, and I don't necessarily prescribe to global warming, but I think the solution brings us to the same place where we can do things cleaner and just doing the right thing is the way to go. But my point is there any chance that the unions and we could get a coalition for, because we look at these imports and we're taking stuff halfway around the world. Can you, you know, just imagine the carbon footprint when you're shipping screwdrivers from China 6,000 or 7,000 miles around to the other side of the world. Could we possibly get like a, not necessarily a tariff, but my God, if you can't make it here, then there should be a carbon tax for doing the shipment around the world. How do you feel about that?
Well, one of the things that we believe is legal under the WTO, I'm sorry, that's the World Trade Organization, and they set the rules for international trade. And I got to say, I'm kind of out of my expertise here. I'm a safety guy. But
Wait, Mike, never say you're out of your expertise. I learned a long time ago, just say it with authority. People will believe you.
Okay.
Anyway, but we need a little more volume from you, though.
Well, thanks for that advice, and I will give that a try. My understanding is it is legal under the WTO to impose what's called a border adjustment tax. So, for example, let's suppose we pass a strong energy legislation in this country that really begins to attack greenhouse gases and do something about climate change, which we all in the union fervently hope that we do. If we do that, then we can say that countries which do not subscribe to that same idea that we have to control climate change and that we have to control greenhouse gas emissions, and if because of that their products are cheaper to make, then we can use a tax at the border that would wipe away that advantage that they have by not being as scrupulous as we are about controlling greenhouse gas.
So people in China need screwdrivers, but there's no reason to ship them all the way halfway around the globe.
Sorry?
And, you know, we probably got the odds of getting this through the Congress and Senate is getting accountability or ethics on Wall Street. I'm going to let someone else call in.
All right, Mickey, thanks a lot. 866-977-4820. My motto is superficiality can take you right to the top. Just ask Sarah Palin. We're speaking with Mike Wright, not superficial. Health, Safety, and Environment Director for the United Steelworkers, USW.org. And let's see if we can get in a little bit of what I wanted to ask you about the organizing. Before we talk about the Employee Free Choice Act and whether or not you're disappointed in the failure of the Democratic Congress and administration to deliver it for you, I saw on your website, usw.org, of a recent decision that had to do with rail workers and airline workers and the logistics of holding an election to unionize. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I am.
Could you speak to that before we go to the Employee Free Choice Act?
Well, here's what happened. In most elections, what you do is you count up the votes for and the votes against. That's the way we elect political leaders, and that's the way most elections run by the National Labor Relations Board to decide whether or not workers want a union. That's the way most of them are done. You count up the votes for and the votes against. The way that for some bizarre reason, some years ago, it was decided that we would do it differently for transportation workers. And so to be able to organize a local in a transportation sector, the union has to get a majority of all of the possible votes. That is to say, if, let's say, 50% of the people don't show up for the election, those votes are essentially counted as no votes. In no other election do we do it that way. All of the Republicans who think it's terrible that we have you know, overturned that system, and that's what the court decision basically did. What happened was that system was eliminated, and the system now is that in the transportation sector, like everywhere else, if you get a majority of the votes cast, you win.
Right, because isn't the judicial decision relative to this that the people that didn't vote are by not voting are basically saying whatever the result is, I'm okay with it.
That's right. That's right. And we've asked some of our asked some of our Republican friends who are outraged by this. How would you like to face an election where, unless you got a majority of all the voters in your district, whether they voted or not, you wouldn't be elected? And not many of them would sign up for that kind of a system. But that's what they think workers in the transportation sector should sign up for.
Okay.
We think that the way elections ought to be done is you count up the votes. If you got a majority of the votes, you win.
Okay, so that was specific for that industry, but now we have the bigger issue of the Employee Free Choice Act. What is that?
Well, the Employee Free Choice Act would do a couple things. Most importantly, it would first basically say that if a majority of workers decided by signing a card or signing a statement that they wanted a union, that would be enough. That you wouldn't need to go to an election at that point. If a majority freely expressed their choice that they want a union, then the union would be allowed in that workplace. A second thing it does, it says that if after a reasonable amount of time of good faith negotiating, if the two sides haven't reached agreement on a first contract, then an arbitrator could decide what that first contract between the union and the company would be. Those are the two key elements of it.
Okay, now, I have some mixed feelings on this, Mike, because, first of all, let me make sure I understand correctly. Unlike an election, it has to be actually 50% plus one of the workforce. Is that correct, that signed
these
cards?
That's right, 50% plus one of the
Okay. And I have mixed feelings because of the union busting that's been going on for decades now, and I feel the pendulum has to swing back if we're ever going to have some justice in this country in the labor market. But on the other hand, I got to think that if you have some people standing around you on the shop floor and looking to waiting to see you sign the card, that's an awful lot of peer pressure to put on somebody whether they want the union or not.
Well, the problem is right now the peer pressure works the other way. If, for example, a coworker wants you to sign a card and you don't sign a card, that coworker can be angry with you, but that coworker can't fire you. The boss can fire you. The boss can make your life miserable. The boss can assign you to a job that is dirty or dangerous or very unpleasant just because you've expressed some desire to have a union. So will workers talk to other workers and say, yeah, we think you ought to sign this card? Yeah, that'll happen, and that's a good thing. That's the way democracy works. People argue with each other. People have debates. But a coworker can't do to you what the boss can. And right now, what we find is that in almost every union election, in almost every election to see whether or not there will be a union, there is just massive intimidation by the boss. The boss says, if you support the union, then your job's going to be at risk, or I'm going to give you a job that you're not going to much like, or I'll shut this plant down and move.
Okay.
All those things are illegal, but they are extremely hard to stop because the enforcement mechanism is just pitifully weak. And
okay.
There are no sanctions against an employee.
Mike, I'm going to rush a little bit because we're going to be coming up against a break pretty soon. And Matt in Lakewood Ranch, stand by. We'll get to you. So to follow up this line, then we can go to another topic on the other side and take the calls. This was the number one priority for the labor movement, wasn't it?
Well, it was one of them. I'm not sure which one was number one and which one's...
Okay, well let's just... It was
two,
very prominent in the media that this is something labor wanted in the recent elections.
Well, we cared a lot about health care, too, because health care has been a very significant problem in this country, and it's been a very difficult problem.
Well, let me phrase the question to you, and I'll include health care. Because to me, what I see from the Democratic Party, when you look at how they take the African-American vote for granted, and I think they also take labor's vote for granted, they haven't delivered the Employee Free Choice Act, even when they had a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate and an overwhelming majority in the House. There doesn't seem to be any kind of real push from the Obama administration on this, and also to bring in the health care, this idea of a Cadillac tax on health care benefits, which is really going to hurt people that have fought so hard for those benefits and contracts. Do you find disappointment in the Democratic Congress and administration post-election?
I think that let me answer that two ways. Have they done everything that we wanted them to do? No, they haven't. And I think there are times when they haven't cared much about our issues. There are times when I think, as a strategic matter, they've been a little clueless. But it is infinitely better than what we faced during the Bush administration. So, the glass is half full, but 2 years ago, the glass was empty.
All right. We're speaking with Mike Wright, the Health, Safety, and Environment Director of United Steelworkers, USW.org. On the other side of the break, we're going to take a call from Matt in Lakewood Ranch, but we want to hear from you, too, at 866-977-4820, 866-977-4820.
This portion of the Henry Rain Show is brought to you by HurtByAccident.com, 1-888-280-HURT. Personal injury attorneys, they'll come to you.
Tampa Bay, log on to NewsTalk820.com.
But now I'm fine. I'm checking troubleshooter, moving down the line.
If you've been hurt in an accident and you've been contemplating talking to an attorney to see what rights you have, consider a few things. If you were hurt in an accident a few years ago, can you still make a claim? There's a statute of limitations on making personal injury claims. That means that if you wait too long, you may not be entitled to anything. So be advised. Secondly, will an attorney or law firm charge you a fee or cost regardless of the outcome of your case? Some will charge you costs even if they lose, so be advised. Hi, I'm C.J. Zaya. For nearly 20 years, my partner Kevin Gallagher and I have been representing accident victims, and we've been doing it for free. At Zaya & Gallagher, personal injury law is all we do, and if we don't win, we'll do it for free. At Zaya & Gallagher, we charge you nothing. That's no fees or costs unless we win. Our fee comes out of what we recover for you. Call us today, toll-free at 1-888-280-HURT. That's 1-888-280-HURT.
Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Lang, board-certified optometric physician and certified nutritional specialist. I'm also host of Ask the Doctor, now heard live every weekday on News Talk 820 WWBA from 9 to 10 in the morning. I'm here to help answer all your questions regarding your vision, eye care, and ocular nutrition. So if you're wondering how proper nutrition may slow down aging in the eye and body, then tune in and listen about the latest in optical, medical, surgical, and nutritional treatment. That's Ask the Doctor with me, Dr. Michael Lang, now heard right here every weekday from 9 to 10 on News Talk 820 WWBA.
Wow, this year, Brandon Expo and the Taste of Brandon is shaping up to be the best year ever. There are over 200 businesses committed this year to display and sell their products. And my favorite, of course, is the Taste of Brandon, where there are over 30 restaurants that will be cooking up great food for you to sample and taste throughout the evening. Man, oh man. Now, this is going to be a great, fun-filled family event. I got to help this client find their booth, so here's the announcer guy to tell you more.
Thanks, construction guy. Make your plans to attend the Brandon Business Expo and Taste of Brandon on Thursday, May 20th. Doors open at 3:30 p.m. and go until 8 p.m. at the Special Event Center at your Florida State Fairgrounds. It's the Brandon Business Expo and the Taste of Brandon. Brought to you by Hoffman Business Services, Max Muscle Sports Nutrition, Sagicor Life Insurance USA, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, Renaissance Consulting and Development, Inc., the Greater Brandon Chamber of Commerce, and News Talk 820 WWBA.
This is the theme to Forever Lovers, the movie I wanted to see.
This is the theme to Hillbilly Hamsters, a big hit with kids. I searched online. I couldn't find the showtimes. It was the only other movie playing. How bad could it be? Very, very bad.
Yahoo Search delivers movie trailers, reviews, showtimes, theater info, and more. All on one page, right at the top. Just what you need. Just one search.
Next time I'm using Yahoo Search.
Yahoo!
cable TV rates continue to skyrocket faster and faster. The profit on the cable giants has pushed consumers around enough. You don't have to stand for it anymore. It's time to push back. Cut the cable and get Dish Network installed free with absolutely no equipment to buy. Here's the best part. It's just $19.99 a month for an entire year. And you'll also get a high-definition digital video recorder upgrade for free. That's right. Call now and get Dish Network installed for free. And get over 15 premium channels, including HBO and Showtime, free for 3 months. Our Dish-authorized agents can have you watching TV as soon as tomorrow. Call 800-830-9016. Just imagine all your favorite TV shows in crystal clear digital quality for far less money, and you won't have to deal with the cable company anymore. At $19.99, it's like giving it away. Call now for full details. Call 800-830-9016. That's 800-830-9016. Again, 800-830-9016.
Henry Rain Show here, News Talk AM 820 WWBA. We're speaking with Mike Wright. He is Health, Safety, and Environment Director of United Steelworkers, USW.org. And I am going to ask Matt to please have a little bit more patience. I'm sorry, but we have Reagan who is driving somewhere, and I don't want to be responsible for an accident. Reagan, what road are you on? Where are you calling from?
Well, I'm on Highway 27 headed back through Tallahassee back to Pensacola.
Wow, Florida, way up in the panhandle. All right, what you got for Mike?
Well, Mike, on the Free Choice Act, the reason it's called the Free Choice is because it puts that choice back to the laborer there, that when it gives him the choice to whether to call for a actual election or go ahead and go with the card check. Right now, the way it is, the employer, it's solely their choice. There's no other way about it, and they will always go with the election. They almost never go with the card check and go ahead and acquiesce and go on the union side. So this Free Choice Act actually puts it back in the hands of the employee.
Reagan, are you a union member?
I am.
Which union?
IBEW.
Okay. Did you get everything out you wanted to say?
I think so. And then on the one other thing on the health care, what we would really rather have had was a single payer, something similar to Medicare. But we didn't get that. But at least we have something now that we can build and change it through the years.
Okay, Reagan. Now you drive carefully up there.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. All right, now we're going to go
Reagan,
to...
Reagan, let me say I agree with you on both points.
All right. Let's go to Matt in Lakewood Ranch, who is showing the ideal of patience there. Hey, Matt.
That's because I'm a patient person, Henry.
Oh, this is the Matt who is the host of the Captain's America Radio Show, CaptainsAmericaRadioShow.com, theCaptainsAmericaRadioShow.com. Find out more about how you can listen to that. Go ahead, Matt.
You might even hear Henry over there. And by the way, Mike and Mr. Steele, the Steelworkers Union, very proud to be able to talk to you. I'm a retired Teamster that was grandfathered into the IAFF when the IAFF took over the old Teamsters unions. You remember when the Teamsters were firefighters?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now, I just wanted to tell you what's going on here with the public employees. Recently, we had a move in the state of Florida to not only cut back on our insurance for people that could have least afforded it most, the widows and children of orphaned firefighter, police officers, and public employees. Also, the state is trying desperately to figure out a way to cut back their contributions to our retirement fund here in Florida. Now, that being said, as a result, back in 2008, the local firefighters in Sarasota County, actually the IAFF 2546 in three different counties, agreed to take no pay raise. And they said, we will not take a pay raise if you leave our benefits alone and we'll stay there. We'll give you 3 years. Bargaining agencies with the counties said, nope. We'll take your no pay raise, but we want something back. So now it's costing us $700 to $1,000 more per month for health insurance. That's number one. Number two, recently, and I'll make this brief, the city of Sarasota had a whole bunch of city firefighters when Sarasota City was a separate fire department and not part of the county. Those guys had what was called a 725 plan. Are you familiar with those?
I'm not.
Okay, well, basically that was a separate pension plan aside from what the county currently has. Now, there are 30 retired Sarasota City firefighters collecting their pensions right now, 50 that would be eligible down the line, and $2.1 million sitting in an account that the city of Sarasota tried to get their hands on in this past session, this past last year. So this is the move that's going on right now across the country with the public, as cities and states and counties are trying to scramble to come up with money in different ways to get it at the expense of the people that are working there, most of whom happen to be union workers. And I'm going to hang up and listen to your comments, sir.
All right. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
And, Mike, I got one other caller that's been holding. We only have 2.5 minutes left. So caller Dave in Newport Richey, be brief, and we'll try and wrap it up with Mike afterwards.
How you doing, sir?
Good.
Quick question, and I'm for unions. I'm definitely for them. But when the auto unions, when the auto GM and Chrysler defaulted and were not allowed to declare bankruptcy, those health care plans, which are now null and void, are going to have to be paid by the American taxpayer. And I just don't feel as though the American taxpayer should be paying for health care plans, which were agreed upon with a private company.
Okay. Dave, we got to get
you,
an
sir.
Answer. Dave, I'm sorry to you. We're out of time, but you got your question in, and we'll get your answer off the air. Okay. Mike,
okay.
Two parts. The first from Matt about state governments balancing the budget on the back of the workers' health and retirement. And this, what about the auto industry?
Well, about the auto industry, I think it's, I think any time the taxpayer has to step in and subsidize an industry, it's a problem. But it wasn't the auto workers who created the problem at General Motors and at Chrysler. It was really corporate decision making. Years and years ago, when Walter Reuther was the head of the United Auto Workers, he said to the companies, we ought to be making, this is back in the 60s. We ought to be making, smaller, fuel-efficient cars that ultimately Americans will buy, because ultimately we will get into this, into this problem where gasoline will be expensive. And the auto industry said, you take care of your members, we will take care of this industry.
Okay, and we're down to about 45 seconds. So what about the states balancing their budgets off the worker?
If a space alien, came close enough to our planet to look at how we organize things, they would see people on Wall Street making millions and millions of dollars, and widows and orphans and people who have worked their whole life for a company being screwed out of their benefits. That's what's happening in this country, and we've got to change that. There's enough money to go around.
We're out of time. Mike Wright, Health, Safety, and Environment Director, United Steelworkers, USW.org. Mike, thank you so much for spending an hour with us on a Sunday. Thanks for joining the Henry Rain Show here at News Talk AM 820 WWBA.